please open your copy of God's Word to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 8. In this chapter, we're presented with a very familiar parable, the parable of the sower. And while this morning's message will be a topical sermon, the main subject of which we will be dealing with is the need for us to be good and faithful, conscionable hearers of God's word. And in this particular parable, we are reminded of the importance of having that soil, the right soil that is ready to receive the seed of God's word, that it might then produce good fruit in us within our lives. And so that is a major part of what I hope we will walk away with from this morning's sermon, is the need and the importance of receiving God's word faithfully. Let's begin reading at verse 1. And we'll read to verse 18. Now, it came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. And when a great multitude had gathered and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, they go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Now, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. Again, may the Lord add his blessing to the reading, and now the proclamation, the preaching of his word. Last week we took up the subject of the power of God's word preached. The scriptures not only teach us about the power of God's word preached, but they also instruct us about the importance of being faithful hearers to God's word preached. See, it's not enough to simply come to church or worship and to do so faithfully We must also come ready to hear the word faithfully. God's word places a great amount of responsibility upon everybody that hears his word read or preached. This message is especially relevant for us today because many of us have lost the ability to learn by listening, or at least we struggle with that ability to learn by listening. Many of us have become casual or even lazy listeners. Now, there may be various reasons as to why folks struggle with the ability to learn by listening. But one invention that seems to have had a huge impact on us in this area is that of the television. Now, before I continue talking about some of the negative effects of the TV has had in our lives, please know that I don't think that watching TV is evil, or that Christians should never own a TV or have a TV in their home. That's not my position. Like most things in life, when used in moderation, they are fine. But with that said, a good case could be made to show that the TV has affected the way that we typically process information today. It has had an impact on us. Consider, if you would, given that we're in a political season, consider the area of politics. Some of you are old enough, not many of you are, but some of you are old enough to recall the televised presidential debate between Kennedy and Nixon. Well, it's generally believed that Kennedy won that debate simply because he had a better stage presence. Many believe that Nixon performed better, but because of the lighting, it appeared as though he had a 5 o'clock shadow, and the heat of the lighting caused him to sweat, which some interpreted to mean that he was nervous. Kennedy, however, had been packaged for TV. And from that point on, in many political races, determining the best politician has gone from him who has the most ability to who has the best stage presence. This can also be seen in the manner that each candidate presents his views and debates his views with his opponent. When you take a look at the political debates and the political speeches before the days of television, you'll notice that they had much more substance. The arguments were well-reasoned and they were thought out and they were fairly lengthy compared to today's. Now keep in mind, these were speeches. These were speeches, and therefore people had to be good listeners in order to appreciate and to know where each candidate stood and why he stood the way he did on particular matters. Now, generally speaking, that isn't the case anymore. Nowadays, the only things that we've been trained to listen for are little sound bites. We've been trained to simply listen for a particular phrase or an expression or even a sarcastic remark. For the most part, we don't have to follow arguments anymore because there usually aren't any well-reasoned arguments to follow. It's all about the sound bites and appearance because that's pretty much all most people can digest these days. And this has had an impact on the way then that people also listen to sermons. It's had an impact on the way in which we listen generally to the things that would be a means of instructing us. The truth is, the average person in the average pew today cannot pay attention to a sermon with more than 3 points. And that's only if all 3 points have a catchy illustration to go along with each point. And since we're told that the average adult attention span is no more than 15 to 20 minutes, the average length of the sermon is now 15 to 20 minutes, and the rest of the time within the service is spent keeping people busy, clapping and singing, or watching others perform. This is why some worship services incorporate multimedia presentations, and why many churches are more concerned with entertainment than they are content. You see, again, we've been trained to listen for sound bites and to learn with our eyes. We haven't been as well trained to listen to an argument or to learn with only our ears. And if you think about it, this is also the reason why people think making a movie about the gospel, like The Passion of the Christ, has proven to be more popular in communicating the gospel than the preaching of the word. In the mind of some, the screen is the best way to communicate the gospel message. Why is that? We've been trained to learn this way. Another area we see the effect of the television in the way that we process information can be seen in the way that it affects our children. Many children today spend hours a day in front of a television. Some estimations are as high as 1,500 hours a year children are spending before a television. Now, to be fair, not all of them are spending all that time watching cartoons, right? Some watch what we would consider to be educational programs. But I believe there's an unintended consequence that we might not be aware of. With the introduction of things like Sesame Street and Blue's Clues and Barney and Dora the Explorer, we might be conveying the wrong message to our children. You see, kids may be led to think that all learning should be fun. They may be wrongly led to think that all learning should be easy and entertaining and perhaps even passive, that you can just kind of sit yourself in front of something and you're going to learn, right? But that's not a good lesson for them to take away. You see, while some learning can be fun and some learning can be entertaining, a lot of times it's not. Learning can be hard. Learning can be tedious. Learning can require, at times, quite a bit of effort. To learn requires the student to be actively engaged with the mind, not just stimulated by sights and sounds, but has to engage the mind. Now, that's not to say that the TV can't, or the TV or a computer, a screen, can't be an aid to learning. It certainly can. It's just that we need to also figure out ways for us to become good listeners without the aid of those things. Some have become overly dependent on those mediums, and as a result, many who are now adults by now find it difficult to follow a sermon or even a lecture in the university, right? So it's not only about listening to sermons, it affects the way we listen generally to things in life. And so it is for these reasons that those who sit under the preached word must learn then. We need to learn to be faithful hearers. And by the way, one of the things that we learn from the second commandment is the importance of hearing over seeing. We have all that we need to learn about God and life in his written word, which was given to us to be read and preached. The Lord, you see, could have given us his word in the form of a video, couldn't he? It was not beyond his ability to present us his holy word in video form. He could have gone even further to the point of making a personal appearance every time he wanted to speak to his people. But he didn't choose to go that route. He chose instead his written word to be publicly read, to be publicly preached and heard as the means for him to communicate with us as his people. And the only things that he has given to us for that visible aspect of things are his sacraments, when we are able to see the bread and the wine and the water that are used in the sacraments. But those are the only visual things that he has allowed us to incorporate into worship. Not allowed, but has commanded us to incorporate into worship. So with that lengthy introduction this morning, we're going to consider what is required then of those who hear the word preached. And even as you hear me say those words, you might immediately be reminded of a question and answer from our catechism. And if so, good. If not, well, then this is an opportunity for you to learn something more about what is taught in our standards that is very helpful to us in this particular area that we're looking at this morning. Question 160 of the larger catechism teaches us this. What is required of those that hear the word preached? It is required of those that hear the word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. examine what they hear by the scriptures, receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the word of God. They meditate and confer of it, hide it in their hearts, and bring forth the fruit of it in their lives. According to the answer, the first thing required of each of us as faithful hearers is that we attend upon the preached word with diligence, preparation, and prayer. With diligence, preparation, and prayer. Folks, in order to be a faithful hearer of God's word preached, we need to be under the word preached faithfully, right? If we are to attend upon the preaching with diligence, we must be diligent then in our church attendance, right? It's kind of like being a student. To be a good student, you need to go to class regularly. If you make it a habit to miss classes, you won't learn all that you're supposed to learn. But just like a student, you need to do more than simply show up for class. You also need to be diligent in your studies. There's more to learning than simply going to school. And there's more to faithful hearing than simply showing up to church and just sitting under the preached word. To be a faithful hearer, we need to be diligent in how we listen to the word. Now, as we have read from the parable just a moment ago, there is an emphasis placed upon listening to God's word. In fact, the final words of that parable tell us that we are to take heed how we hear. To take heed how we hear. To take heed is more than simply showing up and passively listening to the preached word. It requires that we be diligent in our listening. To be diligent at something means to approach it actively, to be actively engaged in hearing. Now, this is something that doesn't come easy. It takes hard work and perseverance. It's something that we need to work at. Every one of us needs to work at this. Now, actually, this is one of the reasons that we call what we are doing here this morning a worship service. Have you ever wondered, why do we call these times of gatherings a service? You may have heard Pastor Williams say this before, and it's good. Worship is a service. It's something that we render unto God. In fact, both the Hebrew and the Greek words for worship carry with them the idea of service, as in serving like a servant to a master. And just as we prepare ourselves for work in other areas of our lives, we must also prepare ourselves to be faithful hearers of God's words, to enter his service of worship. You see, it takes work. You see, when you go to work, you have to make certain preparations for the day, don't you? Most of us shower, at least I hope we do. Most of us shower, we eat our meal. We make sure we have enough gas in our cars to get to work. We make sure we leave the house in time to get to work on time. We make sure we either have our lunch or that we have money to buy our lunch that day. In all these ways, we prepare ourselves for work. Additionally, you students also prepare yourselves for school, don't you? If you had homework, then you make sure that you're ready to turn in your homework in the next class. And if you have a test, you make sure you study diligently to take that test and to do well on it, right? Well, in a similar way, each of us is to prepare ourselves for worship. Listen to what Solomon says, the preacher in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 says. He says, "Walk prudently when you go to the house of God. And draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools." Walk prudently when you go to the house of the Lord and draw near to hear. You notice that here in that passage, Ecclesiastes 5, and also in other passages of Scripture, it's presumed, it's assumed that God's people will be going to God's house. That's the given. God's people, if you belong to the Lord, God's people go to his house, right? And they go to his house in order to draw near to hear. To hear what? to hear the lively preaching of God's word. Folks, while we are blessed to live in a day and age when we have things like sermon audio or the written sermons of great preachers of the past, we ought not to use those resources as though they can serve as a replacement for attending worship. There are some people who do that. As has been said in the previous two sermons, when we come to worship, we're entering into God's presence together as a body, and we are entering into a holy dialogue with God. That holy dialogue can't be captured in its fullness in a recording. Okay? This experience is unique to the time that we gather together on the Lord's Day. And it's for this reason that we ought not to think that it's no big deal to miss worship just because we can read a good sermon or get around to listening to another good sermon that we missed at some later time. While it's nice to be able to have those resources available, they are no replacements for coming under the lively reading, preaching, and singing of God's word in His holy presence on His holy day. Now, there may come a time in our lives when we get old and we're in a home, and we might be limited to being able to come into God's house. And in those cases, God's people need to be sure to go to their people and encourage them in the Lord, right? And also, these resources we're talking about will be a great aid to them and a help to them. But they are no replacement. They are no replacement. So therefore, part of preparing ourselves for faithful hearing is faithful living. The faithful hearer is busy practicing and applying what he learned from the previous sermon in order to prepare himself to hear the coming sermon. You see, the faithful hearer is always either remembering what he heard and putting that into practice, or he is preparing himself for what he is about to hear. So one day a week, he comes ready to hear. And the other 6 days of the week, he's practicing what he's already heard. So as we are approaching worship, we are to walk prudently as we approach. And as we do, we come then to worship ready to hear what the Lord has to say to his people. Now, there are a number of ways that we can prepare ourselves to be faithful hearers. First, we need to prepare our minds. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 says some wonderful things about these people called the Bereans. And one of the things that we are told is that the Bereans were more fair or were more noble-minded. And the reason for that is that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. We might call that being mentally alert, right? So part of preparing ourselves to be faithful hearers involves approaching worship with a mind that is ready to work, a mind that is ready to be informed, a mind that is ready to listen. In order to be a faithful hearer, we need to come to worship with a rested mind, right? In other words, we need to have allowed our mind and our bodies to rest, to get a good night's rest the night before. This means that we ought to make sure that we're getting ourselves to bed at a reasonable time on Saturday night. You see, folks, Sabbath keeping, or keeping the Lord's Day holy, begins really the night before, doesn't it? Some might even say it begins on Monday, but especially it's the case that it begins on Saturday evening. We have a hard time coming to worship with a rested mind and a mind ready to work if we stayed up really late into the wee hours of the morning, Sunday morning. A good night's rest is important. And as most of us know, it's difficult and really it's challenging enough to give all of our full attention to all that's going on in worship, even when you have a rested mind. How much more difficult is it when you didn't get a good night's rest the night before? It's all the more difficult, isn't it? Now, J.G. Voss has well noted that sleeping during church services is sometimes blamed on the preacher. But he says, where one or two members fall asleep and all the rest have no difficulty in staying awake, it's probably not the preacher's fault. And so take note of that. Take note of that. Another thing to keep in mind is who it is that we are coming to listen to when we come to worship. Remember who our true preacher is. When you come to worship, I hope you're I hope you're not simply coming to this service to hear the words of a mere man. If you are, if you come here only to hear the words of this preacher speak, if that's your only reason for coming, then I might understand why some might be tempted to doze off or to not pay attention to what's going on. And actually, if you've come here to hear me, I would expect to find more people just looking around and wondering, what are we doing here? This is quite boring. There are far better men to listen to who are far able, more able preachers than this one. But the truth is, when a lawfully ordained man steps into the pulpit, he does so as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And so long as what he says is in agreement with the Word of God, he is God's herald. He is God's mouthpiece, and therefore, through him, it is Jesus Christ who is speaking. And since that's the case, we should all be all the more diligent then to have minds ready to hear what Jesus has to say to us. So again, if it's just a man speaking to you, well, you can kind of like take it or leave it. But if you're a child of God, if you're one of the shepherds, then we are told in the scriptures that his sheep hear his voice. Pastor William said it well when he says, your level of attention and alertness is a true indicator of how much you value the Word of God. So show that you value God's Word by coming rested and with a ready mind to hear. Another way by which we prepare our minds for worship is that we try to put out all the thoughts that don't pertain to God's Word. In other words, don't come into the worship service thinking about what you have to do at work or what happened at work in the past week. Don't come to worship thinking about school or any of the other activities that you have facing you in the coming week. Come with a mind that is rested. Come with a mind that is ready to worship and to be transformed by being renewed and sanctified by the precious Word of God. Another way we prepare ourselves to be faithful hearers is by preparing our spirits. This involves setting aside time for the purpose of self-reflection, along with a time of confession of sin and repentance in our lives. You recall the words of our Savior in Matthew 5 when he says, if therefore you are presenting your offering at the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar. Go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. Now, why do I bring attention to that passage? I bring attention to that passage because if it's true of our sins against our brother or sister, it must also be true of sins that we've committed against the Lord himself, right? If we are worshiping the Lord and there recall that the Lord has something against us, we should immediately go to the Lord and confess that sin and ask for his forgiveness. You see, we ought to be reconciled in all of our relationships of life with the Lord and with our fellow Christians to the best of our ability before coming to worship. If there are sins in the home that need to be confessed and repented of, then do what you know you ought to do. Be reconciled and repent. When we come to worship with those things taken care of, it will help us then to be diligent, faithful, prepared hearers for God's Word. Another way we prepare ourselves to be faithful hearers is by preparing our will or our affections. By preparing our will or affections. We are told in 1 Peter 2:2 that we are to long for the pure milk of the Word like newborn babes. We are to long for God's Word. We should have a strong desire to hear it. The psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 18, asks the Lord to open his eyes so that he could behold wonderful things from God's Word. He longed to see and he longed to know what God's Word had to reveal to his heart and mind. Now, if we come to find that week after week, month after month, we really can hardly stand being here in this place. We're constantly bored to death as we sit here in this place. Then if that describes where we're at, where any of us are at, then we need to examine ourselves. We need to check ourselves. You might recall how the men on the road to Emmaus stated how their hearts burned within them as Jesus spoke to them. You remember that? God's people, you see, have a strong desire to come to worship and to hear Jesus speak to them. And when they do, it says, oh, there's an excitement, a burning in their heart. They know that they have heard the voice of their shepherd. But if you find that you never have that, you never have that experience or that desire, then we need to check ourselves. Why is that the case? With regard to preparation, just one more area. The Catechism answer spoke of attending upon the Word with diligence, preparation, and prayer. We've already noted the importance of spending time with the Lord, examining our hearts and confessing our sins. But it's also important to be in prayer for the preacher. To be in prayer for the preacher. A good passage of Scripture that makes this point very well is found in Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians 6, verses 18 and 19, Paul says this: "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." As Paul coveted the prayers of the saints in order that he would be given the unction by the power of the Holy Spirit to boldly proclaim the Word of God, so do CJ and I covet your prayers, that we would be enabled to preach God's Word faithfully to you, that by it the Lord would be glorified and his people would be blessed. The prayer of this prayer should take place throughout the week. Throughout the week, as the sermon is being prepared for the Lord's Day, pray for the preachers. But prayer should not only be offered on behalf of the preacher. Prayer should also be made on behalf of the hearers. Pray that the Lord would prepare all of us to hear his word. And pray also that hearts would be converted under the proclamation of the word, under the proclamation of the gospel. Prayer, then, is key. It is absolutely essential to having a fruitful ministry. If we find that we're not growing and the Lord is not blessing our congregation, we need to run to prayer. We need to run to the Lord in prayer and petition him. Ask him to reveal to us, is there any sin that we're committing that is preventing us from growth? And if not, are there any areas of ministry that we're neglecting, anything that's going on in the life of our church that we need to tend to? And trust that in his goodness, he'll reveal these things to us. But prayer is key to having a faithful ministry. Well, the Catechism answer from question 160 also speaks about things that we can do as we sit under the preached word, as we hear God's word being preached. And the first thing mentioned along those lines is that faithful hearing involves examining what you hear by the Scriptures. Faithful hearing involves examining what you hear by the Scriptures. Remember, again, what the Apostle Paul said about the Bereans, what we read about the Bereans in the book of Acts, chapter 17. There, they are referred to them as being more noble or more fair-minded because they not only received the word with readiness of mind, but they also examined the Scriptures daily to see if the things spoken by Paul were so. You have the same duty. The faithful hearer will examine what he hears by the Scriptures. The catechism answer also tells us that the faithful hearer will respond to the word preached faithfully. It says that he will receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the word of God. And so let's break this down. The faithful hearer will receive the truth, first of all, as being the word of God, right? We touched on that last week. Paul commends, you'll recall, the saints at Thessalonica for this very thing in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. He praises God. Paul praises God because the Thessalonians received his words, not as the words of mere men, but as they truly were, the word of God, the word of God himself. And so if we're convinced that God is speaking to us, the only right response is for us to receive what is being spoken to us, right? Now, as the answer stated, we receive the word first with faith. The writer of Hebrews notes that people who do not receive the faithfully preached word with faith are like the rebellious and unbelieving children of Israel in the wilderness. Hebrews 4:2. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Sadly, there may be some here in our midst this morning who have yet to join faith to the preaching of the word. You may have been coming to worship, coming to church faithfully for quite some time. And you may still have never profited from the public reading or preaching of God's word. It could be the case. You may be somebody who comes to church for many good reasons, but you have yet to know what it is to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear his word, his voice, spoken to you. You may have tried to listen from time to time, but you continually find other things more important to think about during your time here. Now, without a doubt, every one of us, if we are going to be honest, every one of us struggles to be faithful hearers of God's word. That's part of our sin nature, is it not? But some people may find that they don't struggle at all. That is, they don't care to hear at all. And if that's where you're at this morning, if you've been coming to worship week in, week out, and never understanding anything and never caring to hear or to understand anything, then you're in a sad state. That's not a good place to be. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, verse 43, he says, "Why do you not understand what I am saying? It's because you cannot hear my word." You cannot hear my word. And then in verse 47 of the same passage, he says, "He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God." If you find then that you are not of God this morning, then you need to know something very important. You're on very dangerous ground. And if you continue along that road, then you need to be prepared for where that road leads, which isn't good. Right now, the Spirit may be convicting you of sin, convicting you of your unbelief, and convicting you of the truth of who Jesus Christ is. And if you desire to live forever in peace and comfort and in the love of God, then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ this day, and the Scriptures say you will be saved. There's no more important thing for you to do today than, or any day of your life, than to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. The next thing the Catechism states is that we are to receive God's word with love. With love. See, some people won't receive certain teachings from God's word with love. For example, some people might hear a sermon about the doctrine of election or hell or a sermon on some other topic that they don't particularly like and simply refuse to receive that doctrine and to believe that doctrine with love. Even though the doctrine and the teaching comes straight from Scripture, they refuse to receive it with love. Or some receive it, But they'll receive it saying in the back of their mind, well, you know, it's a doctrine I don't like to think much about. That's a doctrine I don't care to talk much about. But folks, when you think about it, that's not a good thing. Whatever God's word teaches comes from God. His word is pure. We are to receive his word with unconditional love. Not only are we to receive it, we are to love it. As the psalmist expresses, God's word is pure, enlightening the eyes. It's to be desired more than the finest gold, and its words are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. The child of God, you see, loves God's word. He delights in it, and he delights in all that it teaches. Next, and we're coming close to the conclusion here. Next, we're told that we're to receive the faithfully preached word as the word of God with meekness. In other words, we are to receive the word with humility. As you listen to the word being preached, this is not the time to entertain thoughts about how poor of a sermon was preached, or to occupy your mind with thoughts about how much better you know the subject matter than the preacher does. No doubt, those things may be true. It may be, in fact, be a poorly structured or a poorly delivered sermon. And you may, in fact, know much more than the preacher does on any given topic. But at the end of the day, if the word is faithfully preached, Jesus is speaking, even if through a weak vessel. Because he is the one speaking, we ought to receive the word with meekness. You see, this isn't the time to think about something that could have been said better. Rather, it's the time to hear the words that Jesus has for you by way of challenging and comforting your heart. It's the time to be listening for the voice of Christ and for what he is saying to you. It's the time to receive his word. And the only right way to receive his word is with meekness. Then we're told that we're to receive the faithfully preached word as the word of God with readiness of mind. And we've touched on that already. So we're going to move then now to the conclusion by giving just a few thoughts as to what we are to do after we hear the word preached. The Catechism answer tells us that we are to meditate upon it. Psalm 1 tells us about the blessings of the one who delights in God's word and meditates on the word day and night. The one who meditates on God's word, we are told, will be like a tree that is planted, firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in due season. And its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. But we aren't to stop at meditation. The Catechism also tells us that we ought to confer over the faithfully preached word. In other words, we should talk about the points of the sermon with one another. We again look to the example of the men on the road to Emmaus. In Luke 24, verse 14, before they ran into Jesus, we read that they were conversing with each other about all the things which had taken place. And then, later in that chapter, we're told that the two men spoke to one another about their encounter with Jesus and his teaching, and how they went back to Jerusalem and conversed with others about their experience. This is something that many Christians have a hard time doing. Oftentimes, as soon as the benediction is pronounced, we find ourselves in conversations about all manner of things, and usually not things that are related to what you might have just heard in the sermon. And again, it's not because you might offend the preacher by not talking about what he might have said, but rather the point being is that you want to, if you've heard the voice of Christ, it ought to have been an encouragement or even a challenge. And perhaps you want to share how the Lord challenged you or encouraged your heart in the service that you're just now leaving. It's a good thing to do. Now, again, that's not to say there's no place or time for us to catch up with each other. We will do that. We do that every Lord's Day. But perhaps right after the sermon would be a good time either to sit down and think about what you heard or to talk with another brother or sister about what you heard and how you've been encouraged or exhorted. or how you might be an encouragement to them in understanding the sermon. Another way to fulfill this is by speaking about the message of the sermon when we get home, or perhaps when we're on our way home in the car. This is a good time for you parents then to see how much your children actually were able to take away from the service. And for those of you who have children who have a hard time understanding, this is the perfect time for you to break down the sermon into bite-sized pieces with your children so that they can understand those things. No single pastor knows how to approach or to teach every single child here in this place. Every child is different. Every child knows, you parents know that every one of your children is different. You know best as the parents how to break things down into bite-sized pieces for you to feed your children, like a mama bird feeding the baby birds. It digests it and regurgitates it, gives it back to the baby. The catechism then explains that we are to hide the word in our hearts. And this means more than simply memorizing scripture. It means to keep those truths that we've learned in our mind and to keep on thinking about them and reflecting on them in all the areas of our lives. In Psalm 119, verse 11, we're told there that the psalmist has hidden the word in his heart that he sinned not against the Lord, right? Hiding God's word in our hearts will keep us from sinning against the Lord, right? It's one of the fruits of having the word in our lives. And then finally, the catechism answer ends by telling us that after hearing the word preached faithfully, we are to bring forth the fruits of it in our lives. James 1:22 is very clear on this matter. It says, "But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." Be doers of the word, right? In order to be a good doer of the word, you need to be a good hearer of the word. It's important that you hear God's message and then consider ways in which you can be a doer of that message. You can think of it as sort of a time-released capsule. You take the message home with you, and as you think about it throughout the week, you can look for opportunities to apply those truths in your life. The faithful hearer will bear good fruit. The scriptures tell us that we will know people, whether they be of God or not, by their fruit. A very practical way to go about this is to pick just one thing from this morning's message. Just pick one thing from this message that you will resolve to do, and then be sure to do it by God's grace. See, the preaching of the word is not just for your information, it's for your transformation. It ought to have an impact on us and our lives. If we learn to put these principles into practice, we will learn to be faithful hearers, and we will then profit from the word. As families, applying these principles will also teach your children how to grow up and how to be faithful hearers and how they will profit from the word. See, because, going back to the introduction, because of the many ways that we've been affected by the television, we need to go out of our way now to train our children and to also retrain ourselves to be faithful hearers. We need to be deliberate in learning how to be faithful hearers, and we do this in various ways. For our children, as stated earlier, you can talk with them about the points of the sermon and supplement points of the sermon, right? Both children and adults can make it a point to take notes during the sermon. Not everybody has to do it that way, but some people like to do it that way. And it's, by the way, a good help to stay awake. If you have trouble dozing off, it's a good way to keep your attention span where it needs to be. But I'm going to close with just one final exhortation from one of my favorite preachers, Pastor Williams. Consider what he says. We'll conclude here. Some ways to cultivate our ability to think, reason, and listen with an active mind are to first of all not use all of our free time doing mindless entertainment. Read scripture. Read theological works. Read something of importance and value, something that challenges you to think and at the same time build you up in the knowledge of the word. Or listen to sermons throughout the week. It gives you one more opportunity to be a faithful hearer of the Word of God. The more you do it, the easier it will become. Amen. Let's conclude here.